you look at the book of Philemon, look at verse 23. Verse 23. Paul says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this day that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I'm thankful for air conditioning today. Lord, it's been warm outside. And Lord, I know that this morning the class outside was hot, Lord, but you provide us cover for that. And Lord, you're just so good to us, Lord. And I'm thankful that we can enjoy the heat. Lord, I know that there's a time coming to where we will wish we had it back. But Lord, tonight, Lord, as we sit in this church, I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and help us to heed the warning, Father, that all of us are prone, Lord, to get away from you. And Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, if anybody is going down that path, I pray that, Lord, that you'll show them that they're headed that way, Lord, and they can turn around now and just not go down that path. Father, I pray tonight also, if there's somebody here who isn't saved tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll just convict their heart, Lord, help them to see the urgency of the hour, Lord, that they do need to be saved, and there's nothing they can do to save themselves. Only you can save them, Lord, if they would just call upon you. Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and help us to stay focused on your word, and Lord, just for a few minutes tonight as we hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I can think of many who were at one time very excited about serving the Lord. Some, they never missed a service. You can count on them being at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other times that the doors were open to the church. They were some of the best workers in the church, but today they're nowhere to be found. They're out of church, they're away from the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about people tonight that have a good reason for not being here. There are a lot of people tonight that are sick. There are some who are scared of getting sick. And I'm not talking about those who want to be in church that cannot be in church. I'm talking about those who are no longer serving God. I'm talking about those who we would say are backslidden. Perhaps the most miserable person in the world today is a backslidden Christian. And it certainly is sad to see those who were once learning or serving the Lord and serving Him and doing things for the Lord. Now they're away from the Lord and no longer serving Him. And tonight I want us to look at a person that is found in your Bible who is just like that. A person who began serving the Lord, who was faithful, who was serving with the Apostle Paul, traveling around the world, winning people to the Lord, a person who had great zeal for the Lord and great zeal in serving the Lord, but he became backslidden, and his name is Demas. Now, Demas is mentioned three times in the New Testament. He's mentioned in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. He's mentioned in 2 Timothy 4, verse 9, and he's mentioned in our text here in Philemon, verse 24. And I want us to take a closer look at Demas tonight so we can get better acquainted with him, so we could see kind of a progression that happened with Demas that, to tell you the truth, I fear that in these last days we're going to see more and more like him. We've already started to see that. In churches all across America today, you see people who were once on fire for the Lord, what we would call it, and they wanted to serve the Lord, and that's just what they want to do, but as something happened in their life to where they no longer serve the Lord today. And so I want to look at the life of Demas so we can see this progression. And the first thing I want you to notice about Demas in the Scriptures, in just the three verses that's really spoken of him, is I want you to see his devotion, that is, at the beginning, his devotion. In verse 24 here, notice the Apostle Paul spoke very highly of Demas. Paul names him along with others and speaks about them as being his fellow laborers. And when we think about fellow laborers, we're talking about people that were working closely with Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul went on three missionary journeys and he was witnessing to people and he was telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seeing people worship false gods. I think about him coming to those people there on Mars Hill, and they were worshiping these false gods. And he told them that they need to turn from those false gods and start serving the true and living God. And he went from place to place and telling people about Jesus Christ. And according to this, Demas was one of the fellow laborers with him. He was one of those people that was out serving the Lord and out winning people to the Lord along with Paul. And so basically they were co-workers. And this reminds us that the Apostle Paul, and he's calling Demas here a fellow laborer, it shows you that this is really a compliment for Demas, considering the spiritual stature of the Apostle Paul. Paul said in verse 24, he says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And we find that Demas is mentioned right along with people like Luke, right along with people like Mark and Aristarchus, three men who were very well known in the early church. I mean, if you remember, John Mark was the one who wrote the book of Mark. God used him to write that. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Aristarchus served time in prison with Paul. You can read about that over in the book of Colossians. All these men were traveling companions with Apostle Paul. They served the Lord together with Paul. They witnessed the people with Paul. And from that, it would appear that Demas was well known, well respected, well liked during this portion of his life and this portion of his work. You know, for Paul to speak of Demas as a fellow laborer reveals really that Paul's assessment of Demas's walk at that time. When you follow Paul on his missionary journeys, you'll learn that he was particular about who he traveled with. He didn't just travel with anybody. He didn't put a ad out in the Jerusalem Gazette and saying, hey, we're looking for somebody to travel with. Paul was particular who he traveled with when he went on these missionary journeys. And he only took with those who demonstrated a love and devotion to the Lord, somebody who was dedicated, somebody who had zeal to serve. That's the people that he took. Now you say, well, how do you get that, Pastor? Because there was one person that he didn't want to travel with anymore. If you'll remember, John Mark was one who did travel with Paul, but then he goes on a missionary journey, and John Mark turns back. He goes back home, and after that, Paul didn't want to travel. He didn't want John Mark to come with him anymore. In fact, Barnabas did, and Paul didn't, and the Bible says there was such a contention between the two that Paul went his way and took Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark, and they went in a different direction. Why? Because John Mark, when he was there, for some reason, we're not told why he turned back, but he turned back, and Paul says, listen, if he's going to turn back, I don't want him going with us anymore. And Barnabas says, wait a second, you know, he's wanting to go, so Barnabas takes him, but Paul was particular on those things. Now, we know later on that it worked it out, and Paul said that for John Mark to come with him, and because he wanted to be with John Mark there towards the last. But at that time, because John Mark did not seem as dedicated, Paul didn't want to be there traveling with him. And so if you think about this, here you have Demas that's mentioned as a fellow laborer with the Lord. That's quite a compliment, considering that Paul would mention him as a fellow laborer, somebody who was traveling with him, and he was somebody who was serving the Lord. And so Paul here gives a great compliment, calling him a fellow laborer. Not only that, but Demas being spoken of as a fellow laborer also reveals Paul's appreciation for his work for the Lord. Demas had been one who had worked with Paul in the ministry. Perhaps he was Paul's right-hand man in the work of the preaching of the gospel. They preached together. They witnessed together. They planted churches together. Demas had been a part of what God was doing through Paul. They had worked together, hand in hand, serving the Lord. And so you could see Paul's appreciation for Demas when he spoke of him as a co-worker. God used Paul as much as any man who ever lived, yet the work of Paul was not without the help of others. And may I tell you tonight that this is always the case. No pastor builds a church, and no pastor is used of God alone. Now, folks, you got to get this. There are a lot of churches today that the pastor gets the credit for building the church. No, it's the Lord's church. Remember, he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. You say, who is it that builds a church up? It's not a pastor. It's the Lord who builds the church up. Okay? Pastor gets no credit for that. None. Zero. God gets it. But may I tell you that God uses more than just the pastor to build the church. God builds his church through the pastor and faithful people. Listen, you can't show me anywhere where God just used a pastor and worked through the pastor to build the church. He did it through the pastor and faithful people. That's who God uses. And so it wasn't just Paul here. You know, sometimes we get the idea, we say Paul and his missionary journeys. Paul didn't go out there by himself. Paul went out there with fellow laborers. In fact, when you read through the book of Luke, it talks about he went here and we went there, and Paul and Silas, they went here, and Paul and Barnabas, they went over there. God used a whole bunch of people in those missionary journeys. It wasn't just Paul. And what I'm trying to say tonight to you is this, that, you know, I pray that the Lord will continue to build this church up. I pray the Lord will continue to bring people here amongst us, bring visitors, bring people in this town who are just interested in truth, who just want to serve the Lord. I pray that. But listen, folks, we need faithful people in this church that God can work through. I would like to get more kids coming to church, but we need faithful people that are willing to serve, that are willing to teach these young people. It's such a great opportunity to teach these young people, and we need workers, and we need people that are faithful, like Demas was at the start, a fellow laborer. God builds his church through faithful people and the pastor, and the old saying is no man is on an island, especially in the true work of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, he says, "For we are laborers together with God." As Christians, we're to work together in God's work. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. God's plan has always been for us to work together. So as great as Paul was, he still needed help from others in the work that he had to do. So when we first see Demas as a fellow laborer of Paul, you see one who is a devoted Christian. His devotion is seen in both his walk with the Lord and his work for the Lord. What a great example he is to us, at least in this stage of his Christian walk. The question I have for you tonight is, what kind of testimony do we have at this church? Are we devoted to the Lord and his work? In these last days, we need it more than ever, because the Bible says that many will depart from the faith in the last days. And you're already seeing it, folks. You're seeing people that are departing from the faith. And we need, listen, the Bible says that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Listen, we like to say that, we like to use that verse just for missionaries, but it's not just for missionaries. It's anywhere. You realize the harvest is ready right here in Great Falls. But it can't just be one or two people out there telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more people that's willing to serve, more people that were like Demas at this point in his life. However, As devoted as Demas seems to be here at this point in Philemon, you're going to notice that something starts to change. Turn, if you would, over to Colossians chapter 4. This is the second time you see Demas mentioned in Scripture. Now remember, here in Philemon, Paul is careful to say, "my fellow laborers," and he names people that were laboring with him by name. And I mean, there are some famous names there. You're talking about Mark, and you're talking about Luke, and you're talking about Aristarchus. But then when you get to Colossians chapter 4, we see something a little bit different. Before, Paul had called him a fellow laborer. But notice here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 13, notice what Paul says. He says, "For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you, and them that are at Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." It just says, it talks about Luke being the beloved physician and Demas. You know, you say, "Well, Pastor, maybe you're reading into this." Maybe I am a bit, but maybe I'm not. Because before we saw him mentioned as a fellow laborer, Paul went out of his way to actually call him a fellow laborer, but now it's and Demas. In other words, it's kind of like Demas is showing up for work, but he doesn't quite have the zeal that he used to have. Demas is coming to church, but he's not as focused as he used to be. He's coming to church, he's just not serving the Lord like he once did. You know, Paul is still out there going 100 miles an hour. Paul is still out there, you know, he's still leading people to the Lord. He's still doing these things, but, you know, Demas is there, but it just seems like Paul isn't making as much out of Demas as he once did. I wonder if something started to happen here. Maybe he's just reporting the duty, but his heart just wasn't in it. Maybe the change of heart would show up in the rest of his life. The day would soon come that Demas would walk away from the work of the Lord. When we look at Demas, we see a story of devotion, but then that story goes from a story of devotion to a story of desertion. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, it's all a process. And may I tell you again tonight, it's always a process. Always a process. Nobody wakes up one day and they're away from the Lord. It is a slow process here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see the third time that Demas is mentioned. And he went from being a fellow laborer, mentioned by Paul, in Philemon. Then we see him as just being and Demas, kind of just there. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see the continued progression. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. Now, here Paul is, his time of his death is drawing near. Paul is in prison in Rome. And he writes this starting in verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, what he's saying is he's getting ready to be beheaded. He's getting ready to die here. Verse 7, "And I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." He's saying, I'm ready to go. I've fought a good fight of faith. I know I've gotten a crown. I've got a crown waiting on me. I'm going to do well at the judgment seat of Christ. He says in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me," he tells Timothy. But then look at verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved his present world, and is departed from unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." How thrilling Paul's description of Demas was back in Philemon, verse 24. Yet how tragic his declaration here of 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me." He has abandoned the ministry. He has abandoned Paul and his quest to win people to the Lord. What a turnaround we see. What a turnaround from a person who used to be a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul going around on missionary journeys. Now here Paul is at the end of his life. Demas, who should be taking the torch and running with it. Demas, a person who should still be faithful to the Lord, should still be out there winning people to the Lord, perhaps even being on his own missionary journey out there, spreading the gospel around the world. Instead of that, now he says that Demas hath forsaken me. What a sad thing. May I tell you, I've seen it over and over in churches. I've seen it where people would come in and they're on fire for the Lord and they're doing everything for the Lord. It seems like they're serving the Lord here and they're serving the Lord there and they got lots of zeal. And they're close to the Lord and they're there, they're an encouragement. And may I tell you today that you have no idea how much this pastor appreciates people that are willing to serve the Lord in this church. Just this past week, we take the teams out. It was just hot as the blazes. I mean, we go out there. I'm so thankful the Lord actually provided us this. I guess you call it a gazebo. That the stories bought it because we use it in the mornings. And it does keep the sun off. And it does, for somehow or another, it actually produces a breeze underneath there. I haven't figured that one out yet. But we went and took that thing out to the park. And we got to have the teams doing some things. And it was a wonderful thing seeing people serve the Lord and being there with the teams and helping out. It's a wonderful thing to look out on Sunday mornings and you see people teaching young kids underneath that canopy here on the side of the church. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That is a great encouragement to me as a pastor to see, hey, listen, we've got this church here and we have people that have this zeal to serve the Lord. We have these people that want to teach our kids the Bible, even though we have only got them a couple of hours during the week. We have people that are willing to do that, and that's a great encouragement to me. But listen, there have been people to come in this church who came here, who were serving the Lord, who were on fire for the Lord, that are no longer in church now. What happened? They went the way of Demas. They were once fellow laborers. They were once the ones who came in to serve, but now they're no longer in church. They're no longer serving God. And let me tell you something. Don't think it couldn't happen to you. It can happen to you. It can happen to anybody in this church. I tell you this, I saw people I never dreamed would get out of church, got out of church. People who once were fellow laborers in the ministry, no longer there. Hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, when I first got into ministry, there was a fellow that was in the ministry the same time I was, who was called to be a preacher the same time I was, and that guy was on fire for the Lord, and he did everything that I could think of for the Lord, and he was a great encouragement to me. He helped me out as a preacher boy. He was a preacher boy himself. Today, he's no longer in church. It could happen to anybody. It happened to Demas. Demas left the work of God. As a fellow laborer with Paul, Demas had been involved in God's work, but then he forsook and abandoned Paul, and he was not only leaving the man of God, even worse, he was leaving the work of God. Furthermore, we see that Demas not only left the work of God, but he limited the work of God. In verse 9, Paul said to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Paul was saying, "Timothy, I really need you. Do your absolute best to join me as soon as possible." Probably one of the reasons why Paul was so desperate to have Timothy join him was because Demas had forsaken him. Paul had obviously relied upon Demas in the work that he was doing, and now that he deserted him, Paul was kind of shorthanded. Before he had Luke serving him, helping him out, and before he had Mark helping him out, and before he had Barnabas and Silas and Aristarchus and Timothy, and he said, "Listen, I used to have more, but now I don't have as many people. Demas has forsaken me." And you know, when Christians quit working for God, the work of God always suffers. When people say, "You know, I'm just going to quit on God, I'm not going to serve God anymore," the work suffers. Why? Because the work goes on. And you know, before we had many laborers, but now Demas starts to leave, and he gets away from the Lord, and he gets backslidden. He's no longer serving God anymore. Well, listen, the rest of those Christians had to pick up the slack. And it does affect God's work. God needs the work, needs every Christian to do his share. God needs every Christian to be faithful. Demas had deserted Paul, and not just Paul, but the work of the Lord and serving the Lord. In plain old English, Demas was a spiritual deserter, leaving his God-appointed post. That's what he was. And it's one thing to start well, but it's even more important to finish well. But Demas, he started well, but he did not finish well. Now, the final and defining statement of his life is that he was a deserter. And what a sad thing that is. Could there be anything worse said of us? The harvest is indeed great and getting greater every day. God's work needs every Christian to find their place in the work of God, to be faithful in that work. Now is not the time to quit, folks. Not now. I mean, we're late in the game now, folks. If you don't think we're late in the game, take a look at what's going on in your country, in this world. Now's the time, like I was talking to somebody tonight, now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to get upset. Now's not the time to get depressed about what's going on in this world. Now's the time to start looking up for your redemption, draw nigh. Now's the time to get busy because the Lord's on his way, folks. He's on his way. And I'll tell you right now, the Bible says that in latter times that people are going to depart from the faith. And listen, when they depart from the faith, it's going to get harder on Christians because we got to pick up the slack. There are still people to reach out there. And before, maybe we had 10. Maybe we're down to 5 now. But guess what? A 5 or kill us, we'll go out there and reach as many people as we possibly can. But wouldn't it be great to have 10 again? See, that's what we're looking at. So the question is, are you going the way of Demas tonight? Now, here's another question. Why did he go that way? What happened to Demas? I mean, how could he go from being a fellow laborer of Paul, mentioned there with Luke and John Mark and those folks, how could he go from that to being somebody who just deserted his post, no longer fighting in the Lord's army, no longer out there serving the Lord? How could he do that? Well, it was really because of distraction. There's always a reason why people get out of the work of the Lord. Paul explained why Demas forsook him. He stated in verse 10 here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Having loved this present world. When Paul was speaking of the world here, he's not talking about the planet from which we live. He's speaking about the world around us, the way the world thinks, feels, acts, and lives. The world system of things that are in opposition to God. The world lives after the flesh and lives after to fulfill desires of the flesh. The world lives the kind of life that is opposite from what God wants his people to live. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." As we look closer at the reason why Demas deserted Paul, we find that Demas was distracted from the great work that he was in by the world that was around him. In other words, You know, he was serving the Lord, and he was with Paul, and he was doing all these things and faithfully serving Paul, but he started looking around. He started looking at the world and started to desire the things of the world more than the desiring to serve God. And the command of God is plain. He says, here's what 1 John 2:15 says. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Evidently, the temptations and the pull of the world would prove greater than his commitment to the Lord. And he eventually fell away. If you study your Bible, you'll see that that is something that is going to happen to more and more believers in these last days. There are going to be more and more believers that go the way of Demas in these last days. Believers who once served God, but decided to quit on God and join up with the world. Now, the heart of Demas did not change overnight, because nobody backslides in a day's time. Nobody does that. Again, it's a process. If you think about the prodigal son, when he left the father's house, he was seeking a good time in the world. He just wanted to live it up for a few days, but before too many days had passed, he found himself where he had never imagined. It didn't happen overnight. It took a while. When you choose to go the broad way of sin and not the narrow way of righteousness, it'll surprise you exactly where you'll end up. There are people today that can't believe that they're not, how long it's been since they've been in church. There are people today that never dreamed that they would be where they're at. And listen, we sit in church and we wonder, how in the world did it happen? It was a process. It took time. Maybe Demas allowed his heart to grow colder and colder until his love for the world started to grow and his love for the Lord started to go away. Maybe he just allowed a little bit of compromise in his life. But whatever happened, Demas chose the wrong path somewhere along the way and ended up in a place where he never intended to be. And we need not kid ourselves, folks. God created us to love, but we cannot truly love God if we love the world at the same time. You can't do that. When we love God the way we ought to, there will be little room in our hearts for the love of this world. But when our love for God wanes, then something else will fill its place. When you and I choose a path of life that leads us gradually away from the Lord and steadily towards the world, we shouldn't be surprised when we wake up one day and find ourselves miles away from God. It will happen that way. The world has a grip on many people who claim the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, I'm not 100% sure that everybody who was among us really were of us. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The Bible says that not everybody that's among us is of us. But what that means is this: there are a lot of people that claim to be Christian who are not Christians at all. They put on a good show. Maybe that's some of the folks that went the way of Demas. But according to your Bible, it sure seems like Demas was a saved man. Now, I don't know if he was saved or not. The Bible never says. It just says he's a fellow laborer. It just says that he was serving Paul, and then it says that he forsook Paul. It never says he was saved. We assume he was. And I will say this: if he wasn't saved, then obviously he left and his true colors were shown. But if he was saved, then he was a backslidden Christian. I tell you this, a backslidden Christian will get out of church away from God just as fast as an unsaved person who puts on a show will. That's Demas. We don't know if he is saved or not. We assume he is saved. But if he was, he is a backslidden Christian. And I'm going to tell you today that there are people who leave churches and maybe they're saved, maybe they're not saved. If they are saved, then they're backslidden. And we need to pray for those people and encourage those people. Get them back in the fight. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you love the Lord, you will hate the world. And if you love the world, you cannot love God. 1 John 2:15 says, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There was a time when, from all indications, Demas loved the Lord. But then the lure of the world it turned his heart away from the Lord. And his love for the Lord, or love for the world, caused him to forget what was most important. And as Christians, we must keep our eyes on Jesus in these last days and the importance of serving him rather than loving this world. If we don't, folks, it's inevitable. We will go the way of Demas. We will. If we start looking around and start loving the things of this world rather than staying focused on our love for the Lord and serving him because we love him, folks, the devil will use that, and the next thing you know, you'll be so knee-deep in the world that you won't even remember coming to church anymore. The world pulls at us daily. The question is the world pulling at you tonight? I got to tell you, this is one of the saddest stories that you'll ever read in the Bible about Demas. But this does not have to happen to any Christian here tonight. You have the opportunity to serve the Lord. You have the opportunity to fight the good fight of faith right now. Right now. You have the opportunity to do something for God right now. Now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to get started. Now's the time to say, you know what? I'm just going to go at it full bore right now and give everything I have for the Lord. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to stay faithful to the end. I'm going to serve however the Lord wants me to serve. Get busy and do it. Because I'll tell you this, when you start to wait and you start to look around and you start to compare your options with the time you have in the world, you know what will happen? The world will grab your time every single time. Every time. You need to decide tonight, what's my options? What are my priorities tonight? Is it serving God or loving this world? And I pray for every one of us that it's serving God in these last days. Everybody in this room knows somebody in your life who used to serve to God with zeal, and they're no longer serving God. You say, what do we do with those folks? You pray for them. You encourage them. Keep on trying to get them to come back. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord will grab hold of their heart and maybe they'll start serving the Lord again. And I say amen if we can get that to happen. If we can get God to answer that prayer, that would be a great thing, especially in these last days. People that can still finish well, but we need to encourage them and pray for them. Not encourage their behavior. There's a tendency, folks, for us to act like it's okay when somebody's not in church. It's not okay if they're not in church. We need to tell them they need to be in church. Amen? We need to do it for them. We need to do it for the glory of God. And we need to pray for each other that none of us will go the way of Demas. Are you heading the way of Demas tonight? Is your love for the world starting to grow as your love for God starts to decrease? Were you at one time a fellow laborer, but now you just kind of here really not doing anything? It's time to get back to work. It's time to get back to serving God. Serving Him as much as you can in these last days. Let's stand.